All right, we're going forward in our series. This is a brand new series, and we're basing the series off of songs, because songs, just there's just a lot compacted when God speaks to people and they write and sing songs. We thought, what's just a different way, a fun way to really take a look at the reason for the season. And what I want us to really focus on, who gets a little bit anxious during Christmas for the wrong reasons? And who hears every year, this is the reason for the season, but all these other things seem to take over? And who still struggles every year with the same thing, although you know the reason, but your focus is all, there we go. It seems like no matter how often we talk about it, you know, but there's still the commercialization, there's still the business, there's still all the families, there's still this and all the presents, all these different things we have to do. And so what we want to do with this first week is just really step back and see what is it really about, and how do we apply that to our lives while we're in everything else, while we're busy, while we're still, all these different things have to happen. How do we make that work? Are you ready? All right, guys, go ahead. Anybody else kind of grooving in your seat there? That's a catchy little song. So what we want to focus on this week is, let's just slow down and let's just recapture. Let's recapture the meaning. Next week is going to be a little different, but next week we're going to talk about what happens when each celebration is different. Who's ever suffered loss? And it's usually the holidays where you're like, oh my goodness, this is way different. And it's real. And you have, it's not like, hey, just cheer up, buckaroo, and get over it. You know, that's not it. And we have to deal with that. So next week, we want to just focus on that and how God can move through us even in times of loss during this season. For this week, we just want to slow down and recapture the wonder of the season. And so what I did was I made this list, or I wrote down this list that actually you're going to make. So if we're to slow down and recapture what the season is really all about, we have to realize what matters and what doesn't matter as much. You notice I didn't say what matters and what doesn't matter, because there's a lot of things that I don't want to just get just the in-your-face pastor like, it's about Jesus, and anything that has to do with Jesus, it's out. There are things that bring joy in Christmas that don't necessarily have to be about Jesus or aren't necessary. I mean, the gifts, Jesus was giving gifts. And so handing out gifts and receiving and giving, that can be a great thing. But there are things that really matter and things that really don't. And so are you ready to help me write this list? Okay. I just licked a pin. Here we go. During the Christmas season, what matters? '70s rock, or what kind of music are we talking here? Music. Okay. Family, music.
Friends.
Family, music, friends, food. What else? Past memories. What? The Lord. Yeah, Mr. Spiritual. No, weather.
Kids.
Okay. Christmas break. Spoken from a teacher. Memories. Credit card balances. There you go. Okay.
Snow.
All right. Now, at the end of the day, let me frame this question. When I say what doesn't really matter, what I'm getting at is what can actually pull you from what matters. So during Christmas, think of the things that you have to face that are pulling you, that are creating anxieties, that are, but at the end of the day, when you look at the reason for the season, they really don't matter. What are some of those things? How much you can give? The crowd? Busyness? Changing. Okay. Anybody else?
Having to shop.
Does anyone feel stress to have your house look a certain way during Christmas? And does that certain way bring more honor or less honor to Jesus? See, there are just, those are things, there are stresses that we're putting on ourselves that really don't matter. Anybody else?
Trying to make everyone happy.
And Tiffany has probably overstates everything. Just trying to please everybody. And do you ever accomplish that goal? Sometimes the efforts go unnoticed. Sometimes they're not even appreciated. And you're killing yourself to do that, trying to please everyone. Anything else? There you go. Conflict with family members. It seems to really rise sometimes on these moments because you're supposed to get together. Do I get together and just, you know, or do I just not even go there because they're not seeing my, all these different. So this season, isn't it amazing when you name those things? We haven't named or said the word Jesus once in this section of things that can kind of get in the way and mess us up and take our focus off of the true meaning of Christmas. But they're real things, and we have to deal with them. So if you have a conflict with a family member, what do you do? We have to deal with it. And so in my mind, I know I'm the preacher here, but I go to the Word. How does the Word tell me to deal with conflict? And so one thing that we can do as we're going through these, making our own little list here, the things that don't really matter, how do we deal with them? What does the Word say about that? And then we have to take steps to deal with them, because otherwise it's just going to be a neat little sermon this week. And next year, let's have the same sermon again. And let's be just as busy. Let's try to be just as pleasing. And let's have the same conflicts with our family members. But God is saying, guys, let's slow down here a second. Let's take a look at what the season really means, what's getting in our way, and let's make some changes in our lives. We can do it this season. It's the first week of December. We still have 4 weeks, or 3.5, to really make some changes, and then watch what does God do through those changes when we're really slowing down and honoring Jesus Christ over everything else. And taking the things that we had up here, and not that you throw them out, but maybe we put them down here. I'll never forget when you said that, Justin. We were on Guile Street. I used to live right behind the church when I was a kid. I think I remember it, so I'm going to guess, because we moved when I was almost 6, so I'm going to guess I was around 5 and 6. Mom and Dad had got us way too many presents, and we were really into Sesame Street. And we're opening one present, and it's Grover, the floppy arm, you know. And then my brother had Snuffleupagus, and I got Big Bird. And we're flying. There's paper. You couldn't see the floor. We're flying through these presents because there are so many. And I get done, and I looked over at Mom and Dad, and I said, "Is that it?" And I remember my dad's words, or actually the tone of his voice. "Is that it?" I was just so into that this was great, but I wanted that feeling to keep on coming. So in my mind, I needed more for that feeling to be there. And guess how many weeks we played with Snuffleupagus and Grover? Probably a day. You know, I mean, I'm just saying. And so it's so easy, and parents, and they want to keep their kids happy. And so what do they have to do? Man, there's work, and then there's overtime, and there's this, and then there's that's it. And so there's a little bit of bitterness in there. All these things creep in, and we're losing focus. So can you buy gifts? Yeah. Should you enjoy them? You bet. But we can lose focus and put pressure on ourselves for the wrong reason. So then guess what your mind does? Okay, I'll back way off. I'll tell my kids, well, Pastor Matt said, you guys shouldn't get near the presents this year. I'll be loved. You know, it's going to be a great thing. But I'm going to just do everything in my power to remind them This is what it's about, guys. This is what Jesus did. This is how he affects, that affects us. This is what it's about. This is what I want you to understand so that you can let other people know. This is what it's about. We can take that time, we can back off of some of the stresses and anxieties and really ramp up the true meaning, which is really comes through conversations with people and even things out a bit. So here we go. That was just my starter. Listen to this. For a child is born unto us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the coming Messiah, the Savior, who would be given a name in the New Testament, Jesus. But this is what we're talking about. So let me ask a few questions again. Did we need a Savior? Okay, why do we need a Savior? Because of sin. What did sin do to us? It separated us from God. And so, in order to be reunited to God, we need a Savior to come and die for our sins. And so, if that didn't happen, what was the penalty? Death. Eternal death, because that's the penalty that sin carries. And so you see the importance of this. This had to happen. We need a Savior. We need to be able to have a choice and receive that. And when it happens, Jesus comes in and he cleanses us, purifies us from all unrighteousness, allowing us entrance to eternity in heaven. See, that had to happen. When was this written? Anybody? I've said it several times. Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was written how many years before the book of Matthew? About 700 years. So this was a prophecy. So let's listen to this. Luke, this is New Testament. This is when Jesus came on the scene. And the angel is speaking to Mary. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Whoo! You said it, Tom. Hallelujah. This is it. This is a reason. This is a celebration. Now, I know we all know that, but let's... I love how it's... We wrote it here. Let's recapture the wonder of the season. So let's recapture this for a moment. We needed a Savior because we're sinners. God made a way through Jesus Christ. He announced it 700 years before to people who just are struggling with even, if you're listening to me online, you're in here, you're just struggling with, is this God thing even right? Was this Jesus actually the Messiah? This was prophetic, and it happened exactly as it was told in the Old Testament. And this is simply one place in Isaiah. There's Psalms, there's Isaiah, there's Ezekiel, there's Jeremiah, there's Daniel. There are places where the Messiah is talked about, and then it happens. See, it's real. So we are celebrating the opportunity to have freedom from sin. It was birthed around this Christmas time. That's what we get to celebrate. So as you're with family, as you're in the shopping malls, as you're trying to understand and juggle all these things, grab a hold of what we're actually celebrating here and do your best to say, you know what, this is the important thing. These other things, it's not that we can't do them, but they're pulling us. When you think of anxieties and I can't please everyone and all these things I have to do and everything has to look just right, and if not, you know, I might be judged, all these different things in your mind, but then you just stop, step away from that, and you think, I am saved by the grace of Jesus Christ because God sent him. He lived for me and he died for me. I am whole. All of my shortcomings, all the things I look at myself and think, I should be better at this. You know what? I have a hope and a joy through the life of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. When you can remind yourself of that, let's stop killing ourselves for all these other things. Because at the end of the day, this is going to sound rude, but who really cares what so-and-so thinks of me when I know what God thinks of me? How hard do I have to try to please all these different people when I know that God loves me? It's not that you take an attitude that says, I don't care about you. That's not it. But sometimes we have to not care about these things that are coming to us when they're just wrong. God loves you so much that he sent his son for you to die for you. That is love. And that's what we have to be reminded on, just to recapture the wonder of this season. Man, so amazing. Now this verse, John 3, what? Wrong! Tricked you. John 3, 17 and 18, listen to this. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. So when he was born of a virgin, when the angels came down and talked to Mary and talked to Joseph, when all these things were going on, and God had this plan, and it was to save us because we were sinners. And that penalty marked us, and that penalty was going to take us to an eternal death that was not pleasant. And God, I created you, I loved you, I'm going to create a way for you to come back to me. So God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but, and we have to grab a hold of this, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only son. And so if there's a stress around Christmas time, it probably should be more, not that I'm preaching, hey, be stressed. We come to the presence of people that we wouldn't normally be around during Christmas time. And this has to mean something to us because there are people who maybe know of him, but they have not asked him into their heart. And it's only through asking Jesus into your heart that we're saved. And so more than getting someone the greatest gift, what do they like? And you go to the right store and oh, that shows a love and a care and that's fantastic. But pray for these people. Love on them. Speak truth into their lives. Remind them of what the season actually is and the importance of it. Give them an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ so that they can make a decision. Because, let's just read it again. There's no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And there are two eternities. There's a heaven and there's a hell. So during this time, it's Christmas time, and God's just saying, well, this Christmas, let's slow down and rediscover the wonder of the season. So to bring this home, I'm going to talk about something that every one of you can comprehend. Are you ready? A metal lathe. Are you with me? No. But this is how my brain thinks, so here goes. I bought a metal lathe. What is a metal lathe? It's about a 1,200-pound machine that's from here to here. And it has a chuck, and it spins a circle. And you can open this chuck up and put different sizes of metal. You can make threads. You can face things down. It's a piece of machinery who does machining. And it machines round items. And so I use one at work. My side business that I do for welding, there's times that I also use metal lathes to make different spacers, to lathe out different valves. There's reasons for it. So I had this little dinky one, and it wasn't quite big enough. You go to put something in, it wouldn't fit. A friend of mine had bought a nice old, just forgot the name of it, doesn't matter, but it's bothering me. What's my lathe, Dad? Do you remember? Yeah. Very popular brand name lathe. He said, Matt, do you want to buy this thing from me? I bought it. It needed work. It had A chemical truck had crashed into a machine building, spilled chemicals all over all the machinery, and so it started rusting all of them. So they just went to insurance and sold all of the old machinery. This lathe was in that plant. And so I bought it from them. It was wired three-phase. I don't have three-phase, so God bless my good friend Fred comes over, helps us rewire it. We check it out, and then I start realizing all the different things that are wrong with it. And so there's a piece of you that wants to do kind of what my friend did, just, too much. Oh, well, nice paperweight, 1,200-pound paperweight. But I just felt something, nope, this thing can do an amazing amount of work, but you have to figure it out. So I took time. Who is very busy on what they call it, Black Friday? Any shoppers in the, there you go. I don't shop. If I need something, I go buy the thing. Then I'm not one that just walks around a shopping center. Oh, this is fun. That's not fun at all. I don't even like it. And so my family's in. We had people in from my daughter from Chicago, my brother and sister-in-law from Colorado and their kids, my in-laws from Florida. Everyone's there. And on this Friday, everybody was doing something else. And I'm at the house completely by myself. So I go into my garage and I heat it up and I just hang out with my lathe. And I tear the gearboxes off of it, and I have all the threadings, everything was apart and laying there. And what was beautiful about this is I got to really see how this thing works once I tore it all apart. And so I was able to see the problem. I was able to fix the problem to make all my different feeds work. But it was just so cool that when I got it, I'm looking at all these gears, and there's all these handles that do different things and are moving different gears. But I have the gearbox sideways. I'm looking in it, and I'm able to see what handle does what. So when I put everything back together and turned it on, this thing was working, but I was able to see, I know when I do this gear, I know what's going on in there. I totally understand this thing. How did that happen? I took time. Because otherwise, I partially understand how a lathe works because I've used them, but I didn't really understand what was going on in there. So by taking time, it was just so cool. This relationship got deeper. I understand this piece of machinery so much better. But I took the time when I just dug into it. So you might think, how do you make that work with this? We understand God and Jesus Christ. Most of you I know in here very well. You get it. The Christmas story isn't new to you. But slow down, get into these scriptures, really dig in, and understand completely how much you are loved, how special you are, how much God cares for every person around you, how He is using you to be a disciple to those, how He has commissioned you to go make disciples of others. Really understand, because this birth has to do with His life and His death and what that offers us. And when you really comprehend how this works, it's going to be all the more joyful when you actually get to use your faith. Because it's more than, Jesus, He's the Son of God. This is who I am through Jesus Christ. This is what He's created. This is why He's placed me here. This person that's maybe giving me some fits, God, I know You love them and break my heart for them. This is why. So we really need to comprehend and understand the reason of the season. And so slow down and let's just rediscover it, because it opens our eyes so much more that it takes us beyond December. And now for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, all these other months, we have a better understanding. And come next December, hey, let's reprioritize some things. I don't have to do it all this way to be received or accepted. I don't have to cook this many things. I don't have to buy this many presents. I simply want to be used by God on this day. And we can do, you can have dinners and you can have presents, you can have those things, but the anxieties don't have to be up here. This season doesn't have to be one of the highest depression seasons. This does not have to be one of the highest suicide months when you really comprehend the reason behind it. Amen? Let's just pray together. Father, right now, Holy Spirit, rest on us. Rest on us, God. Your word says that You know each of us individually and everything about us. Right now, just I just pray that you just rest on our minds and our hearts. Put things in our minds right now that we know you are concerned about. Maybe it's people. Maybe it's our agendas. And just remind us, we are loved so much that you sent your son around this time to be born for us, so that he could die for us, so that he could raise again on our behalf, because we were worth it to you. So God, may we know that Christmas is celebrating the birth of our Savior because we needed saved. That Christmas is a time where sin was defeated because Jesus came from heaven onto earth and lived for us without sin and died for us, a pure lamb, sacrificing his life that we could have life. That's it. Help us to rest on that truth. And may families and friends and food and gifts and all the other things that come around that, may that not overshadow the truth. May it not overwhelm our emotions, because we rest on the truth. This season is about a loving Savior who gave us life. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God. We give you praise. We could never thank you enough for making a way for us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God, for sending your Son. So, Holy Spirit, rest on us as we walk out of here. And may this be such a different Christmas season as we live comprehending the very truth of who you are and why you came. We pray all this in your name. Everyone says, amen.